Today's reading is John chapter 8, verses 12 through 19. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You may judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." They asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." The word of God for the people of God.
My Aunt Willie died yesterday. She was like 92 years old. And I've felt this odd compulsion to tell you that. I did it at the last service too. I didn't really plan it. But she was a wonderful example of a woman who came to love Christ over the course of her life. She would, when we visit her, she would start the morning with the American Bible Society readings. You know, they give you different readings to read each morning. And she would open the Bible, and at breakfast, she would invite you to come and read the Bible with her. And yet, she was not a woman that, if you met her, you would really know that about her, because she lived just a very normal life. She was a single woman, and she never married, and she never had children, which was fabulous for all of her nieces and nephews, because she loved us with extreme generosity. She loved us when we should not have been loved. She loved us some days more than our parents could ever have loved us, because our parents knew too much. And she was just such a generous presence in my life. And so I spent part of yesterday planning, oddly, very quickly, my cousin. It was just a convenient day to plan her funeral and to think about her life. And I find myself sort of still in that space, even this morning, as I join you. And She was a part of our ministry, the Child Rescue Center. She sponsored children at the CRC, very faithfully. And I loved her, and I just wanted you to know that. I'm fine. You don't even need to send a card. But I just think it's nice when you love somebody and they die. She was ready to die. She was not in good health. And she had assurance of her salvation. What a wonderful thing to live well, to die well, and to be in heaven. Wouldn't you agree? Well, then, if you'd bow your heads, let's pray. Lord, I pray now that these words could all be given to you and that there wouldn't be anything else but that. But we do pray that our lives would be well lived, and we pray that we would be the people that others would one day celebrate. And so we come to church each week to meet you and to remind ourselves of you and to have you speak to us, as I pray you will during the sermon, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're starting a new sermon series today, and when you leave, when you walk out, we're going to give you a couple things. We're going to give you a magnet and a sticker, and they have this logo that says, "I am here." This was the idea of a woman in our church. Her name is Carly Sitton. Carly's husband, Josh, sometimes sings with our band. They have two kids, and Carly actually came and did a presentation with the pastors and others and said, "I think you ought to do a sermon series called I Am Here," and she didn't use this language, but the idea is she wanted us to be reminded that God is omnipresent. You know that word, omnipresent? That God's always with us, that Christ and the Holy Spirit are always with us. And she said, you know, we ought to, she had made this, she's a graphic designer, she said, we could use this hashtag, and you can actually go to the website. There's an I Am Here website that you can find, And she said we could post things there, and people could put pictures. If you show them the photographs, she said we could ask people to take pictures of I Am Here to remind them that even if they're in New York City or in Des Moines International Airport, that God is always with you, no matter where you go. If you're in recreational spaces or in workspaces or in travel spaces, God is always here. And you could take these, and you might put them somewhere first where only you will see it. For instance, you might put it, you know, on a mirror or in a car where you're going to be reminded, wow, God's with me today, no matter where I go. Holy Spirit's right around me. But you also might put it in a place that's a little bit more public, like maybe on your laptop or maybe in your office or somewhere that others might see it, a neighbor might see it, your kid's lunchbox, you know. Just to remind us that sometimes we have opportunity for conversations about our faith that are just gentle opportunities. So somebody might see that on my laptop and say, hey, what is that? And I could say, well, my church is talking about how God's always with us, that there's no place we don't go, that God's not there. And it's helpful to think about. And then somebody might say, well, tell me more. And you might have a chance to actually talk about your faith in Christ. So it could be for you, it could be for others, we don't know. But we'll give you some of these as you leave, and then you can figure out what's best for you to do with them and what the Holy Spirit's calling you to do with them. So that's an opportunity. Each week we'll be talking about the I Am statements of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has these statements, I am. So today, I am the light of the world. You heard that in the music, you heard it in the scripture, and that's in John 8. I want to encourage you to read John 7 and 8. Today you might go home and read the whole chapters, John 7 and John 8, because it's John 7 is where this section is sort of set up. In John 8, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of Christ. Actually, if you look at verse 12 as a whole, we're missing the front end of that, or maybe I've got a different translation. It says, when Jesus spoke to the people again, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Light's good, isn't it? Come on, aren't you just praying for the light, the days to get longer? Aren't you ready for that? Come on, the energy of light, the sunlight that goes to 6 p.m., and then it goes to 7 p.m., and you just start to feel like I'm getting my life back. The beauty of light, even in this winter season, this past week, if you were here, you saw the snow falling and how it stuck to the limbs and the branches, and the light came through those snowflakes. Wasn't it beautiful? There's the warmth of light. The warmth of light, many of us have watched our pets, a cat or a dog, finding that one place on the carpet where the light comes in and how they just lay right in that spot. And then the light moves a little bit, and what do? They just move a little bit with it. It's the warmth of the light. And there's the safety of light. I don't know if you've ever been traveling and you've traveled one place, you checked in the hotel room, you travel the next place, you check in the hotel room, then you wake up at night. Have you ever had that moment where you're not even sure where you are anymore? You ever had that disorienting moment and then the fumbling fingers and the light switch and the light pops on? I'm in Fargo. It must be Thursday. And then it all comes back. The light is just so good. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, that's so helpful to us, so helpful. He's telling us that he's showing us the way, that he knows how to remove the darkness that engulfs us, both as a person and in the society in which we live. And Lord knows, I mean, it's just about every day that you look at the news and there's another example of darkness, isn't there? So Jesus is the light of the world is comforting. We need the light. Oh, it's tempting to give you all those comforting images and just talk about that, right? And maybe a three-point sermon, Jesus as the nightlight, the lighthouse, and the headlight. I don't know. I could fake it, you know. And it would just be nice, and we'd all leave, and it would be nice, but it wouldn't be contextual to what we find in John 7 and John 8. Because the light of Christ in these chapters is causing troubles. It's bringing trouble to Jesus, and it's bringing conflict to the people that he meets. Because the light is never simple. The presence of light actually forces people into decisions. It requires us to take a stand. So it's comforting to hear Jesus say he's the light of the world, to be sure, but we have to remember that sometimes our thoughts and our circumstances have darkness. And it's not just the world he's going to shine the light into, it's in your very own life. And so we can't just talk about the comfort of light, the energy, the warmth, and all that. We have to talk about the honesty of light. The honesty of Jesus' light shining into our lives. When you stand in the light, you see things as they are, don't you? I mean, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you flick on the light. There it is. You can tell in an instant whether you had a good night's rest or a poor night's rest, can't you? Have you ever noticed that? Just look at them right there, those two eyes. I didn't sleep well. The light. Did you clean up your room, honey? I cleaned it up. You go upstairs. Is the light on or is the light off? Of course it's off. And you reach in, you flip on the light switch, and you go, oh, no, 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 no. The honesty of light. The blue lights. The cars pull over. The officer will have a flashlight in case he needs to look inside. In case she needs to see what's in there. So light is not just something that we long for more of, it is also something that we sometimes fear. Because it exposes us. It exposes the world around us for exactly what it is. And it often shows us things that we'd rather not look at in our lives or in the lives of others. When Jesus comes into your life, he brings that exact light of his presence, and he doesn't do it on purpose. He doesn't do it because he's trying to make a big deal out of your life or mine. He just can't help it. His nature is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's what the scripture says. So when Jesus comes into your life, it's not that he's trying to bring a giant Keeg light to expose you. It's just that when he comes, he only has light to bring. And by his very nature, he brings an honesty to us. That's why Jesus coming into your life is both welcome and a crisis in the same moment. That's how it's always been. That's how it's always been. So if you go back and read John 7, which sets up this whole statement about I am the light. And when he comes into this space, there are Pharisees that when he walked in, they're religious leaders, and he said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Not all of them, but some of them. And he just exposes the hypocrisy. Why? Because they made such demands on the people around them that they often did not want to even live themselves. If you ever have a job where you are a religious leader, you'll know this light, how hard it is. Why? Because who doesn't have hypocrisy? Who can stand in that light? None of us. But he would say it. And so in John 7 it says, a group of them plotted to kill him. Why? Because sometimes when the light of Christ shines into your life, you'd just rather not have it. You'd rather put it out. His own family, John 7, his own family, listening to him, his brothers specifically, it says, and his brothers did not believe in him at that point in the gospel. Now, you got to admit, it would be hard to have a brother who was the Messiah, don't you think? I mean, that would be tough. Oh, there goes Jesus again. It'd be hard. But it's interesting, not believing is a way of dimming the switch. Why? Because the light often shows us things about ourselves we don't even want to see. The crowds in John 7 and John 8, the crowds are split. And so if you read the text in John 7, verse 40, on hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He's the Messiah." And still others said, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Doesn't the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus, listen to this, thus the people were divided because of Jesus, and some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. What's going on? The light of the world has always caused this conflict. Why? Because some people want the light to shine, and other times people want it just to go away. Because the God's honest truth is, sometimes the light is just too bright. And there's an honesty to it that even the best of us sometimes wants to avoid. And it's not just the honesty about your own life, your own personal thing. It's the relational part of your life. It's the blemishes. You know, sometimes you read, sometimes if you spend a day with Jesus, you start to think about how your relationships, any relationship, this friendship may not be the best friendship for me. But you're in the pattern of that friendship. Sometimes as parents, we see things from the light of Christ about our relationship with our kids that we start to feel convicted. I've got to work harder on this. But you know what you want to do as a parent? You want to say, when they change, when they get it, then I'll get it. And then you have to, in the love of Christ, you have to just be honest that maybe it's us too. It's hard. Why? Because the older you get, the less light you really want to see. So the honesty of light, that's just a part of this. That's the hard thing about it. Commentator Fred Craddock writes that my phrase, there's a certain issue of light avoidance in the larger world. It's not just our lives, it's the world itself. We don't want to bother ourselves with the darkness that other people live with in social ways, in societal ways. So Craddock writes, he says, It is to avoid the certain sections of town so as not to be disturbed by the conditions in which some have to live. It's to avoid any book or any speaker who shatters my illustrations of my innocence in an evil world. It's not to ask questions, whether at work, whether at home, whether in church or in one's community, because we just prefer to let sleeping dogs lie. I call that light avoidance. But the thing I want to remind you of is that the light of Christ brings a humility. A humility which is the one thing human beings need. There's something so beautiful about Jesus that it allows me to believe that my pride, for once, my pride is not the answer. Beauty has this wonderful effect on us. I don't know if you saw the snow on this week. That's one of the moments where I saw it. That day, was it Monday it snowed? Feels like it snowed almost every day. I don't know. I don't know if you knew it was cold this week. Did you notice? But it snowed. I took the dog for a walk in the woods, and I found myself just taking pictures. And the pictures, they just never do it, do they? But there was something, the beauty helps us see what is sacred. It just was so beautiful. And when I see Jesus' life, I kind of have that experience. That's a part of his light, is it's not just honest, but it brings humility. I'm the light of the world. Do you remember that time? It's there in John 7 and 8. We get this story happens right, in fact, I think it's in John 8, happens right before he says, I am the light of the world. It's right before he says it. It's that moment we've talked about before where the group brings the woman who's been caught in adultery. I always say, you know, it's sort of noticeable they didn't bring the man caught in adultery, just the woman, but nonetheless, they toss her down. They've all got their rocks. They're not just exposing the woman. They want to expose Jesus. They're testing him. And they say, what should we do with her? He knows what they're thinking. They should stone her to death. That's what the law says. And they have brought this spotlight. Don't we all love to bring the spotlight on others that we would hate to have on ourselves? Amen? And they spotlight her, and she's guilty. And the humility moment, the humble moment, is when Jesus' light shines. See, here's the thing about Jesus. He doesn't just shine his light on one person. He is light, so it covers all of us. And Jesus says, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. And suddenly they all stand in his light. They all have to think about who they've been. They've all had to think about what they've done. And all you hear is the sound of the stones hitting the ground and the people walking away. And there she is by herself, looking up, wondering what on earth has happened. And I think about the humility that must have entered into her life at that moment. Not the pride of, see, they're all just like me. See, they're all... No. The humility of realizing... Her humility of realizing what she's done. And Jesus looks at her, not with a spotlight, but with a light. Is no one here to condemn you? Then neither do I. And then that wonderful sentence, go and what? Sin no more. Because he is light. Your sin and my sin is no surprise. Why are you surprised when you find out that a member of your family or a friend or somebody in the community has committed a sin? Why are we surprised? The surprise is that anybody wants to be more than their sin. That's the surprise. Go and... What Jesus is after is not your exposure. As important as that is, as necessary as it is, yours and mine. He's after our transformation. And I always wonder what happened to her. The humility of the light of Christ, did it change her? I always believe it did, because that's the narrative I'd like to see. You know why? Because it's the narrative I'd like to experience. Jesus is not about putting you on trial or putting me on trial. He's about what in Christian vocabulary we call sanctification, our growth, our ability to gain the light of Christ in such a way that we are bearers of his light in the world. But we don't come with spotlights. Look at what he did. Look at what she did. We come with the gentle light that says, I was like that too. Let me show you the path that Jesus has shown me. He's ordered my steps in this world. Where would we be without this light of Jesus in the world? And Jesus says it this way. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the big thing to ask yourself is not, do I need to be afraid that I'll be exposed? If you walk with Jesus, your sins will be exposed over time. Year by year, you will look back on your life and say, and I got that wrong, and I got that wrong. Let me tell you how you know you're living the Christian life. If you have an experience of increasing humility, not of low self-esteem, but of the moment where you say, isn't it so good? Jesus is teaching me to become more than I used to be, more loving and more forgiving and more gracious. And I once was lost, but now I'm, once was blind, but now I see. The pride that says, I've got it all together. The pride that says, I've never made a mistake. Is blindness. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'm so glad for his orienting light, for his comforting light. But in an odd way, as painful as it's been over the course of my life, I'm so glad for the raw exposure. The clarity to just see myself as I am sometimes, and I have not yet perfectly done that. I am still suffering with partial blindness. But isn't it nice that he keeps his light next to me so that my sanctification will one day be complete? For one day, maybe when I'm 92, I will not wake up. I'll die. And when I go to be with the Lord, I believe I'll see the beauty of his life and its fullness. And then perhaps I shall be fully restored. What a wonderful thing this light is. He's always here. He's always with you. At work and at home, everywhere you go, there is no place where his life does not enter to those who follow. But friends, look at that text. And let me just tell you this, if you're not changing, then you're not following, because it's going to take a lifetime for you to become like him. Amen. Think about that as you come to receive Holy Communion. It's okay to bring your guilt and to bring your sorrow. That's okay. But when you come up to receive Holy Communion, feel the beauty of his life coming to you in the sacrament.